Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 14. Okay. The transcendental entity of Baladeva has two aspects. So this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Infinite spiritual manifestation and infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things. Right, so that means you have the fourth. Oh yeah, you'll say it here. The uniquadrantal delineation of material universe will be dealt with in the proper place. So that's going to be the infinite spiritual infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things, right?
Yeah, yes.
The triquadrantal extensions of the transcendental infinitary field of the Almighty, unlamenting, non-perishing, and non-apprehending unlimited situations of halo, which are fully spiritual majestic foliation. That's your infinite spiritual manifestation. Right?
Yes.
And so the difference is unlamenting, non-perishing, unapprehending, right? Here, situations of halo. So the halo is the Brahman. Right? Your transcendence means Krishna's halo. It's so the unlimited manifestations within that. So that's what's expanding. The Brahman is expanding. Within that is the material, the spiritual manifestation. Here it's also the Brahman is expanding, but it's been covered by the cloud of the material, of the Mahatattva. So therefore it's dark, right? If you don't have the brightness that you do outside of the material world. Right? So then here that Brahman, it's still the basis, but then it's able to accommodate the gross things. On the spiritual world, it accommodates the transcendental, eternal. So that's always there. This other one is things come and then they go. So unlimitedly that can do. So Baladev, he has the infinite accommodation of everything is him. He is that basis upon which it all sits. Right? And he's expanding from Krishna. So he's doing that as a service to Krishna. That way Krishna just can enjoy his pastimes within that. He doesn't have to worry about creating all these things. Right? So we see that Krishna, he engages sometimes in doing amazing things just for fun. Right? Expands as the cowherd boys and calves and things like this. He does these things, and then Balaram is what's happening here. Right? Because generally he's the one that does all that.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what's special. Or he expands as Govardhan Hill, because otherwise the Dham is Balaram's potency. Right? So that means he's doing that through his potency. So the all accommodating potency is his potency. So in the material world, that's a potency that I know of as a consort of Ananta. Right? So then everything is able to work. Yes? Hence, Gokula, which is identical with Goloka, is the supreme plane. The same sphere shines as Goloka and Gokula respectively by its upper or transcendental and lower or mundane situation. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.2, footnote 7. In this passage, as well as in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the oneness of Gokula and Goloka is emphasized. In other places, however, distinctions are made. Just as the spiritual world is divided into realms characterized by either sweetness, madhurya, or opulence, aishwarya. Similarly, within Goloka are different prakoshas, chambers, wherein different types of devotional mellows predominate. In Goloka, there's an intersection called Gokula, which is predominated by sweetness. So that means Goloka is, means when we say Goloka, we mean the whole planet. Mm-hmm. But within that, there's the different areas, or different spheres of Goloka. So within that, the innermost is Gokula. So that means there that Gokula here and Gokula there are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right? They even have the same name. So we only say Goloka just so you understand situational difference. But otherwise, as far as the transcendental aspect and mellow, then they're the same. They're Goku. Yes?
But, yes.
But.
But demons are in the Goku here.
That doesn't mean that it's not the same place.
Yeah, okay. Just clearly.
You know, it's just like...
Yeah.
You know, you have the same family, and you know they're sitting in Europe, and you know they've got a pretzel in their hand. They go for vacation to Mexico. They have a burrito in their hand.
Yes.
But the same family, same mellow, same interaction.
Yes. Upset stomach in Mexico.
Yeah.
So but other than that.
Yeah. Like that. So all it is because here, then you go through. Everybody grows up. While there, they'll always be the same age.
Mm.
So in growing up, then that's where you can throw in all these other things. So then the demons and this, that, they all make sense here. Because even there, they talk as if they're here. The perspective in Goloka Vrindavan is that of Gokul here. So they'll talk about their dharmas and their everything else and all that, because that's the human aspect. Right? That's the human pastime. So they'll see it according to that. But it's still the same vision. So doing that here or doing that there, it's going to be the same. So whether it's in the, how you say, upper or transcendental and lower a mundane situation. So that's the whole point. They're the same place, same mellow. We make a distinction only in the quadrants of Goloka. Right? That's what we mean. So you have Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and Sweta Dweep. So within this, then they accommodate everything. Mm. Krishna performs his pastimes eternally on either shore of the Viraja, both Prakat and Aprakat Leelas. Right? So you have your Prakat means what you're going to be able to see here. Aprakat, what you don't see, what is there. Right? At the same time, is the pastimes are always going on here, so there's also aprakat happening here when the prakat is not manifest. So you're going to get both.
So then,
you know what I'm saying? So that's why it becomes confusing, because generally when you say prakat and aprakat, that's generally talking about here and there. But it can also be talking about just here, whether it's manifest, you can see, or it's not manifest. Like now, Lord Chaitanya is doing his pastimes with his associates. We don't necessarily see.
Not necessarily.
Huh?
Okay.
Yes.
So aprakat here, does that mean that it happens somewhere in the material world, just in the universe?
It's always going on. But it just means that it's going, it's going on here, but we can't see it. But it'll be seen somewhere in some universe. So the pastime is eternal. It means it's always going. As soon as one part's finished here, it moves to the next universe. You know, it's like the. Wow. Even that's old now. You have frames on on the film. And so those frames, you know, one goes through the camera, and then when it moves, the next one comes. So that just goes to the next camera. Like that. Yeah, so even that's dying now. Does anybody even use them anymore? No? It's all digital.
Some Indians.
Oh, that's another thing. We're talking about that.
Huge.
Yeah, but they're also, you know, they drive ambassadors.
Yeah. Maybe
we're not going to talk about that.
So, all right, the unmanifest will be what the pure devotees see when they talk about. We hear about description.
It means they're seeing that, But it doesn't mean, it means they're either seeing it by meditation or they're actually in that pastime. But at the same time, it's generally they're there by meditation. So this, that's the thing, is there's not a big difference between these. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, he offers his obeisances to the residents of Vrindavan. He says either those who are there or those who are there by meditation. Those who live there or those who are there by meditation. So they don't really make that much distinction. We like to make the distinction. We're the ones that make these little boxes. But they don't. And so then that's why we can say, well, why don't you use different terms? It's because on this higher level, it's the right term to use. So Gokul is the right term. But we make a distinction, okay, say Goloka Vrindavan, then we know what we're talking about. But still, Goloka Vrindavan in Goloka is Gokul. Like that. So it's the same place. Right? So that's why we make the distinction. That if you're in the spiritual world and you fell from there, it has to be Goloka Vrindavan. Why not Gokul Vrindavan? Because then you're already in the material world. You're not in the material world, it's the spiritual world. They're the same. So because of that, that's why, you know, don't talk about it. Because you get confused, you make offenses, you know, a lot of problems come up.
Because usually when there's a term I don't understand, there must be something wrong with the term.
Yes, yes, yeah. The term's wrong, yeah, you can't put it in a little box. So that's the problem. The Vedic is, you have overlapping terms because one thing can transform into the other. Yeah. The situation, depending upon your consciousness, then you'll see it in these ways.
Or so they're exactly the same, but on the other hand, we know that the demons.
But the demons aren't the big deal. Why the demons are the big deal? You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're not the big deal, but it seems like one element is present here and is not present.
But it's the same people, same pastimes. You just throw in something extra. You know, it's just like on Sunday you have a special lunch. It's the same family, same kitchen, same everybody. They sit down, talk the same things, eat in the same way. Just on that day it's a slightly different meal. You know what I'm saying? Krishna is the same Krishna. Radharani is the same Radharani. The gopis, their moods, their interaction, the transcendentalness of the place, just because it's here. Then you can afford to have demons and birth and death and these all kinds of things. While in Goloka, you don't have. Where are the demons going to come from? Right? There are no demoniac jivas there. So therefore, it's not going to happen. But here, you can do that because you're working in this realm. So the Tathasta Shakti brings them in. Right? They're not functioning in the spiritual world, they're functioning in the material world, because spiritual and material is how you view it, because it's all Brahman. You see it as Brahman, you're in the spiritual world. You don't see it as Brahman, you're in the material world, even though it's the same place. The wives of the Brahmins are in Braj. The husbands are not. They're in the material world. They live together. They eat lunch together. How does that work? That's the Tathasta Shakti. How is the jiva who's spiritual in the body which is material? That's Tathasta Shakti. So the Tathasta Shakti is able to bring these two together. And so that's controlled by Yoga Maya. You don't have Tathasta over there. You have it here. Not that jivas aren't there, but you don't have to use the influence of Tathasta Shakti to bring it together. Here you do. Because it's going on anyway. All the living entities in all this mundane matter have to be held in that position by Tathasta Shakti. Otherwise, how does the soul and body have anything in common? Does that make sense?
Well, the pastimes are still the same.
The pastimes are the same. The pastimes in Bhagavatam, those are the pastimes here in Gokul, you know, on the, what is it, lower or mundane situation.
So how do we deal then with the demons that are not there, but they're present in the pastime? Who fills the space of the...
Do you need to fill the space of demons?
You know, if there's Agasura, you know, how do we...
No, but I'm saying, why do you need to have Agasura? The pastimes are going so nicely, what do you need Agasura for?
So then those pastimes are not present in...
We'll get into that in the future, because the problem is if this is not caught, you know what I'm saying? It's like this. Let us talk. We're talking about Manu Samhita, right? 2,000 verses. The only verse devotees will quote will be cutting off fingers if somebody steals something. That's one verse. There's another 1,999. You cannot get the devotees to talk about it. Why? Because they're out of their realm of conception. So here, we're used to demons here and everything, so it's all about the demons. The demon walks in. How many demons are there? 10 main demons. Okay, that's 10 days, and it's not even a whole day. Vatsasura, he's there going, he just catches them and kills them on the spot, so a 5-minute lila. Agasura is a little bit longer. Each one is quite short. So if you take them all and put them together in time, maybe you take up a day, maybe 2 days for the whole lilas. So 2 days lilas are missing, then there's nothing missing. Mother Jashoda could go on dressing and feeding and bathing Krishna eternally. In fact, she does. So it's not a problem.
It's a minor element.
It's a major element for us, because these are the ways we get purified, because these demons represent anarthas in our hearts. So they're especially important for purifying those coming up in the pastimes. The eternal associates is just fun, right? But for those who are becoming residents of Vrindavan, right? Because you're not a resident just because you live there. Right? You have to be committed to that. So then those personalities are purified by going through these 10, the killing of the demons, because they represent a certain aspect. Does that make sense? Like here, teenagers, what are they famous for? Getting anything done or wasting time? That's Keshi Dima. That youthful energy, we waste our time. Somebody gets older, they stop wasting their time. Now let's say suddenly there's some miracle medicine or situation, or they go to some place in the sun or something, go to Arizona or something, and then they feel fabulous and feel energetic. Now what do they start doing? Wasting their time. So unless that's removed, then how you'll spend your time? Because everybody there's youthful, so you're going to waste your time eternally? So that has to be removed. So like that, each demon represents a different anartha. So in Gokula, it's important. Goloka, it's not important. They're already perfect. So there, it's just a matter of pastimes. But because it's the same people, you can talk about it there. They know, everybody knows what you're talking about, because they've all been here. There's no one there that hasn't been here. Right? Because the eternal associates come here for the pastimes, and those who are coming up from the material world, they went through it.
For a different reason. For a different reason.
Yeah. But the point is everybody's been here, so they can talk about it. It's not a problem. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's lost. It's the same place in two different situations. We try to make it that it's two completely different things. It's the same place. As I said, in Goloka, they think and talk as if they're in Gokul here. So it's the same. It's the same mentality. Is that okay?
Yeah. Could we apply the mentality of... We were talking about Narada Muni being able to talk to the ladies,
right?
Because she was not interested.
Yes.
So in a similar logic, for us, it's difficult to accommodate that the two can be at the same, spiritual and material can be at the same time talking about this, because somehow we're interested in the material.
Because we see spiritual as something to enjoy, therefore we see the material.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So any situation, that's the point. Narada Muni is one of his qualifications. He can talk on any subject. It's not a problem. There's no subject that he has a problem talking about. Well, you find individuals, they can talk one thing but not another. Say you want to talk about political things and stuff like that. Then some people are comfortable to talk that, some people aren't. But he can discuss that. He can discuss any of the shastras. So it's not a problem for him, because he'll see everything in connection to Krishna. So therefore, there's no problem. So seeing like that, then it works out. That's why, that's the point, is we don't get too much into that distinction. Otherwise, we make it too distinct, just like we'll make too much of a distinction between Goloka and Vaikuntha, and therefore between Krishna and Vishnu. You know, as it is, just Krishna and Dwarka Krishna, we make so much difference. That is as if it's a completely different manifestation. But the Acharyas point out it's the same person. Exactly the same person. Different mood, but same person. Otherwise, why can you reference? Why in Dwarka can they reference Vrindavan pastimes? And in Vrindavan, they're talking about how he went off to Dwarka. It's the same person. We're the ones that make these distinctions too much because we're used to duality where there's all these differences. And you know, when we talk about oneness, then there's no variety. So if they're one, there's no variety. But the point is they can be one and have variety. That's the... You know, so that'll come up more. Once we get these foundational things, then we'll see these other things will be introduced more and more. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it will discuss this.
Because yes. Then the point is that it's superior not because of position, not that, but because of mood and relationship. Right? It's, I mean,
but they're the same. There's no superior. We're just saying higher and lower. That's what he uses here. Respectively, by its upper or lower. Right? So upper or transcendental situation or lower or mundane situation. It means it's situated within the material world. It's not that it's mundane. But we make the difference. It's exactly the same place. So that's why being in the Dham is special, because it is that place. You know, but for us, it's too hot, too cold, too many mosquitoes, you know, too many pilgrims.
Yeah.
Too many pilgrims.
Too many.
I was referring to the gopis have the highest standard of worship of Krishna.
Yes.
So we don't see that as a tattva, even though in tattva it is. Like in the material world, the higher you are in position, the best. You want to be at the top of things.
Yes, but...
In the spiritual world, it's a question of mood.
It's mood of taste. It means Braja Bhakti is the best. That you can say. But within the rasas, you can't say one's better than the other. It's just that the intimacy is greater in the conjugal than it is in the others. So the intensity and all that, because it's the Adi Rasa. It includes all the other rasas. But because all the other rasas are part of that rasa, it can't be that they're something less. Does that make sense?
So someone in Vaikuntha would experience perfection.
Yes, it's perfect. But it's just that... Mathura is more perfect and Vrindavan is most perfect. Yeah, like that. So everybody's satisfied, everybody's happy. Mother Jashoda's happy. She's not thinking, well, when can I go out to the Rasa dance? She doesn't have a problem. She's not worried about it.
Does she know about the Rasa?
Generally speaking, not.
Huh? Otherwise she might worry about it.
Yeah, she'd worry about that he's out too late, not getting proper sleep and everything like that. Yeah.
There was one story from Vrindavan where what's his name? The kids on the air.
Aindra.
He was playing and they were closing the altars. So Kadamakananda Swami, he was temple president at that time, he came and said, could you tone it down a little, Krishna is trying to sleep. And Indra said, that's what Mother Yashoda thinks. And he went on. We couldn't say anything.
Okay.
Touché.
Yeah. Don't mess with those. Don't mess with the New Yorkers.
It's the temple that never sleeps.
Yeah. It's impossible. Yeah. Okay. Krishna performs his pastimes eternally on either shore of the Viraja. Right? So that means it's just the two sides, the two shores of Viraja. Right? This side and that side. both Prakat and Aprakat Lilas. It matters little, however, because in either case his abode is manifested by the same Chit Shakti, of whom Balaram is the mainstay. So then there's no difficulty here, because it's the same manifestation, because Balaram is the one that's doing it. Yoga Maya is Chit Potency, it's all the same crew. Yes?
Is the Viraja the causal ocean?
Yes. Having introduced his abode, the next verse begins to describe the esoteric aspects of the Lord's Gokula Dham. Text 3. The 18-syllable king of mantras. The pericarp of the lotus is also a great yantra with 6 points and a diamond centerpiece. The 6 parts of the mantra are placed on the 6 points of the yantra. The yantra is accompanied by Prakriti, deity of the yantra, and Purusha, deity of the mantra. Footnote 8. According to Hari Bhakti Vilas 5.146, before reciting a mantra, it is customary to utter the name of the sage who revealed the mantra, the meter, Gayatri, in this case, the form of. No, here. The form of the Lord who is subject of the mantra, Krishna, the bija of the mantra, Kleem. Shakti of the mantra, Swaha, the Prakriti of the mantra, Krishna, the Adishtatri Devata, Purusha Krishna, and the purpose of uttering the mantra. Jiva Goswami explains these in his commentary. Prakriti refers to the dwelling place of the mantra, which is directly Krishna, since he is the final cause, Karana. The yantra is established with these two, Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna appears in the mantra in 4 ways: as final cause, Karna; as the presiding deity, Adishtatri Devata; as the letters of the mantra, Varna; and as the object of worship, Aradhya. Here the Karna and Adishtatri Devata forms are mentioned as Prakriti and Purusha. Right, so the Devata is both Prakriti and Purusha. The Aradhya form was mentioned previously with Ishvara Parama Krishna. The letters of the mantra Varna will be revealed later with Kama Krishnaya, verse 24, Digdarshini Tika 5.3. So his is also is Digdarshini.
That's Jiva Goswami.
Okay, here, okay. So if it's in Hari Bhakti Vilas, then that's Sanatana Goswami.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so these are all, means for us, some of these are new, but these are all typical standard ways of worship. We just have to take some, the Achman cup, put some water on the hand, sprinkle some water on the item, and pick it up. But the normal thing is that you're going to worship the item because it's going to be offered to the Lord as part of the Lord's paraphernalia. You're worshiping the Devata, the Adishtatri Devata, like that, who you're going to worship. And then you have the actual worship itself. So the whole Artik is, you know, much more regal and slow because of this, like that. So for us, just remembering to use the Achman cup is generally a major, you know, problem. And then we get into all kinds of weirdo stuff about, you know, if the flower is prashad when you're coming down and this and that, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So that's, yeah.
Maharaj, did you read footnote 7?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We did, yes. Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so that was before. No, did we read the second half of it? Looks like we didn't read the second half. We only read the first paragraph of 7.
No, we did. Bhagavad Gita.
You did?
Yeah.
No, I didn't recall.
Anybody else?
I think maybe we said it.
Okay.
We have to do the demons.
Into the demons, yeah, the demons came up. Okay, okay. In Lagu Bhagavatamrita, for example, it is said that though the form of Krishna is the same in both, in Gokula and both upper and lower manifestation, in Goloka there is a mixture of reverence in the relationships. Right? So that's Goloka. Right? So that means the planet Goloka is divided into two realms, basically Gokul and Golok. Golok means the reverential aspect, so that's Mathura and Dwarka. Right? And then the sweetness, that's Braja, or Gokul. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12303 that those who worship Radha Krishna with Vaidhi Bhakti attain Goloka, whereas those who worship Radha Krishna with Raghunuga Bhakti attain Gokula. This is described in detail later in this book. So you're going to get these aspects because there is a lower, they call it lower Goloka, or lower manifestation of Vrindavan, which is Radha and Krishna, but with this element of reverence. So the same kind of pastimes, just it's much more opulent today. It means manifestation is more opulent. It's not that it is more opulent. It's just Radharani goes in a swan airplane to go to the Rasa dance instead of walking. You know, things like that. So that's when they do talk about, the other sampradayas do talk about Vrindavan, they're generally talking about there. Not that they know that there's a difference, just that if you're talking about Vrindavan with that element of reverence, this is what you get. Okay, this yantra produces a variety of rasas of great bliss arising from prema. The yantra is also endowed with the kam bija, a self-revealing non-material mantra, Brahma Samhita 5.3. Right, so now you're getting that you have the situation of the two. Now Goloka itself, in the center, has the six-sided triangle, right? So the Purusha and the Prakriti.
Yes.
Like that. That's what makes the... Jiva Goswami explains the significance of this verse. Two verses now speak of the pericarp, or the center of the lotus. This pita, or sacred abode, is the chief abode, the abode of the king of mantras, the 18-syllable Krishna mantra. This pita is worshipped by all persons. A yantra is a diagram embodying a particular mantra for purposes of worship. Digdarshani Tika 5.3. Why is this mention? Why is the mention of this mantra significant? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur indicates there are two types of processes adopted by practicing devotees in order to realize the Lord's apricot pastimes. Quote, the manifestations of the non-manifestive pastimes of Krishna with regard to the conditioned souls are twofold. Namely, one, mantra-mayi upasana, worship through the channel of the mantras inaudibly recited, liberating, self-dedicatory, transcendental sounds. And two, swarasiki upasana, spontaneous outflow of heart's spiritual love for Krishna. Right? So, you can, by reading these two, you can actually place yourself wherever you belong. We will not bring it up, no one will make any judgments.
All right. Hmm. You progress from one to another?
That's the idea. As if that's your interest, yes.
We can progress from none to one of them.
Okay, from zero to one. Yes, that's also an option. But that's sadhana bhakti, right? The general meaning is that one who is desirous of entering into the esoteric pastimes of Krishna will have to practice his transcendental service along with the culture of the devotional knowledge relative to him. The pastime in Goloka or Gokula during the stage of devotional progress is the meditative worship through the mantra. And during the stage of perfection, the pastimes manifest themselves as the unrestrained transcendental jubilations. Transcendental jubilations, in other words, bhava. This is the real aspect of Goloka or Gokula, which may be made more explicit in due course. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.3. So this is fundamental element to catch, is that this worship between these two positions, that we're doing it through the channel of chanting of the mantras, and then by that, then we will gain, we get purified, we'll get realization. And then when we have that, or at least some element of that, that there's the natural, in other words, Vaidhi Bhakti or Rag Bhakti. But Rag Bhakti will be following the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, but it's done spontaneously. But Vaidhi Bhakti will be Vaidhi is being practiced, the spontaneity may not be there. Like that. But by practicing it with the right attitude and the right association, it will develop. Yes.
One interesting point to note is that the practice of transcendental devotional service along with the culture.
Yes. Because you have the activities and then you have the culture.
Explicitly said.
That's why the South Indian state means lunch is not complete unless there's some yogurt.
You have to have culture.
You have to have culture. Like that. They don't get yogurt in a day, there's something wrong. I mean, seriously. This is not a joke. It will be shown later in verse 24 how by meditating on this mantra, Lord Brahma is granted darshan of the Lord's most intimate abode, pastimes, and associates. So the point is by chanting of the mantra through the regulative position, then one will come to the point of getting realization. Right? So it will bring one to that platform.
Which has Brahma followed?
He did the mantra Maya Upasana. But then it brings him to that second one. So then he's speaking the verses. Oh, this is from the previous page. I was trying to find where the number was. Okay. The inside of the lotus was described previously, now its surroundings are depicted. Right? So it starts from there. The center of it is Radha and Krishna. Right? So you have the yantra form, but you also have the personalities. Right? Text 4, lotus petals, the gopis' forest grows. The whirl of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dhamma, i.e. spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. Brahma Samhita 5.4. This translation is...
the Banu Maharaj.
Ah, okay. After the Dhamma of Krishna has been described, now the pastime bowers of his most intimate associates are mentioned. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments. The eternal world is like a hexagonal figure. In that, the entity Sri Radha Krishna appear in the form of a mantra consisting of 18 transcendental letters are centered. The propagating manifestations emanating from the chit potency are present here with the said entities as the center. Sri Radha Krishna is the primary cause of the seed himself. Gopal Tapani says, Omkara signifies the all-powerful Gopal and his potency, and Kleem is the same as Omkara. Hence, Kambija, or the primary cause of all love, is connotative of the entity Sri Radha Krishna, Brahma Samhita Purport 5.4. Jiva Goswami adds to the description as follows. Rain. Jiva Goswami adds to the description as follows. Besides the groves of the gopis, one should understand that there are roads at the joining of the profuse petals, groves, and cowsheds at the ends of the roads. Because this lotus is actually Gokula, it includes cowsheds and other things related to the cows, Vikdarshan Tiki 5.4. So you have the petals, and then they have roads that are between them, and that those roads at the end come to cowsheds. So the whole thing is included. So the center is of the lotus. That's where the Mogan David is, right? The six-sided yantra. And that's Radha and Krishna. And then you have the petals of the lotus, because Goloka is in the form of a lotus. So then you have all this. So there for the mantra and the the mantra and the deities are non-different. Yes.
Well, actually, the hexagon, is that from the intersection of the two tribes?
Yes, because that's where the mantra is situated. Because you have the two triangles, then when they're placed upon, put placed together, then you get a hexagonal in the middle. Right? So that's where then both are situated, that's where the mantra is, that's where the seed syllable is.
And on the 6 points around the outside?
Then you get the letters of the mantra. So the bija is in the center, and then there.
Is the swastika symbolizing?
That's, I think, listed somewhere else. Right now we're interested in. Oh, it means you wanted a balance here, but the Jews are represented. You wanted the Germans to also have some kind of, representation here. That, hey, this is out of balance. That's an auspicious sign. I'm not exactly sure of its makeup. You know, why it's in that shape. But that would, and I'm sure it will describe it in Shastra somewhere.
I just found in Bulgaria some site, 7,000-year-old artifacts of the swastika.
Yeah, that's standard. It's just a standard auspicious, you know, sign. I can't remember. I can't. Where is it? I saw somewhere. Even some old buildings, and there was carvings of this excited stars. And I don't remember where I just saw them. But these are just standard signs. They're there. And if the world has been practicing Vedic culture, then if you go back, then easily before 5,000 years, you'll see these common symbols everywhere. Okay. But it's another. Next, the Brahma Samhita details the enclosure surrounding Gokula. Text 5, the fence around Gokula. This Gokula is surrounded by an astonishing square area called Swetadvip, or Goloka. This is divided into four parts, which are the abodes of four Vishnu forms, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajumna. Goloka is endowed with the four goals of human endeavor and with the methods to attain them. It is guided by obstructions in the form of 10 spears in the 10 directions, including up and down. It is endowed with 8 treasures and 8 cities. It is surrounded by the 10 protectors of the directions and the forms of their mantras, as well as the 4 Vedas. It is resplendent with astonishing Shaktis. Right? So the 4 Vedas are always, there's 4 Vedas, just generally there, it's all together, but you have the 4 sections. So then Vyasadeva separates that. But at other times, then it's together. Because you'd study the whole thing, so there's no... Yes?
This the graphical? Is it the graphical depiction of the spiritual world?
But this is just of Goloka.
Of Goloka? Or it actually like that?
Meaning, does it look like that?
Why not?
Weird, perhaps something like
Magendravi
and spears and all that stuff.
Why, Wilsky, you want dogs out there? So spears are good, they're quiet. Quiet and effective. You can't come up and go, he's a doggy, doggy, doggy. You don't do that.
I was always puzzled if it's just, you know.
No, it's real. It's there, but you have all these things happening at once. So they're there. It's that you have that forms. You can see those forms. But the point is, these are how it's situated. But then in the past times, no one really worries about that.
That's unsure. That's unsure.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, it's just like a person goes to buy the house and that, you know, and it's a, you know, an old colonial style with this and that and so many other things, and made with this wood and that wood and this kind of furniture and this period this and that and this artwork and everything like that. So it's great, but when the kids are playing and running around the house, does any of that matter? No. So that's the point. So it's just, this is the thing, so that we can appreciate and understand his position. Then we can see, otherwise we think everything's from here. You know, or devotees get banished. Oh, Vedas, oh, that's all, you know, this, or, you know, the four goals, or this or that. No, it's all part of Goloka. That's how it comes here. If you have a reflection, where does the reflection reflect from? The original. It's not that the mirror reflects itself. You know what I'm saying? It reflects the object. So Goloka is the object. And so that's what's seen here. You know, but through our vision, we see it in a certain way here. But it's all originally from there. So that's why everything can be engaged in the Lord's service. And so that's why Krishna talks about what are your prescribed duties. Perform your prescribed duties. That's how you engage in Krishna's service. You don't worry about too much this and that. You don't get too caught up in these. The external elements of tradition are important, but they're only important because they're good mediums for the devotion. But otherwise, if we only focus on them, again we're dealing in external. We've again made the same mistake. Right? It's more pious. It has a better intent. But it's still not actually the element of rasa. Right? But the point is, rasa will be manifest through those forms, so you can't drop those either. So you can't drop them and you can't be averse to them. You just engage, involved with them as is useful, as is recommended. So then, yes.
So taking the form as we go either distracts us if we take it or if we get averse to it.
Yes. So we can't be enamored by the Vedic culture. We can't reject it. Because either one will bring us trouble. Either one will keep us here. So it has to be, we engage it in the Lord's service because that's what they're doing there. If all of it's there, then what does it mean? So what makes Gokula and Goloka is the difference in serving the Lord in prema, but whether there's a mix of Aishwarya or not. That's all. If that reverence is there, then it makes it Goloka, then it's this outside portion. We see all the elements of reverence and all that are there. And in Goloka, then it's just, you know, simple like that. Groves and cow pens and pastures and things like that. Even though it's more elevated and more opulent, but no one's worrying about that at all. But the point is the position is there, how it is. So we're following, so Vaidhi means you're following the rules, so we'll follow the rules like that, but the mood is that of Vrindavan. So there won't be any difficulty. You know, it's like Srivas Pandit and Srub Damodar. Right? They hang out together and everything, they don't have any problems. And they discuss about Krishna, but they, you know, at times will have sometimes differences of opinion about, you know, what's the best element, the best aspect. So the principle of love of God is common. The principle of following rules and regulations is common. The difference is the mood on whether it's in sweetness or in reverence.
Said that following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if doing rules, will get his mood up.
Yes, that's the whole point, because the Sampradaya is that, but you have to start off from there. Otherwise, why would Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami write about rules? Because you say it's beyond the rules. How are you going to practice devotional service with the last three sections of Nectar and Devotion? What are you going to do? How are you going to apply it? Okay, Stai Bhav is there. Okay, pick which one you like. Okay, Vibhav is there. Means the things that inspire you. You know, Krishna's flute, Krishna's, you know, clothes, or anything connected with Krishna, a mood of Krishna. So where are you seeing this mood? Where are you... How you have that experience? How does this come up? Right? The Anubhavas, the Saptika Bhavas, the Sanchari Bhavas. These are just results. So therefore, you have a mood of love, and those things connect with Krishna and awaken that mood. And then there's the responses to that. How is this going to happen? You don't have the first part of nectar devotion. Doesn't happen. That's describing Vaidhi Bhakti. And then the mood of following Vaidhi Bhakti in Ra. Yes.
Is that what the Babaji's are trying to do? Is to skip the first one?
They're basically trying to skip. That's what we said. That's why we say Sahajya. Yeah. Sahaj just means you don't need scripture, you don't need rules, you don't need all this. And so it's easy or cheap.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they'll focus on the easy part, we'll focus on the cheap part.
Basically the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So the square part, Swetavip, that's where in Borgra Mathura.
Yes, it mentions here all those quadrants.
So you have the first of Yuha?
Yeah, that's where Dwarka, Mathura, you know, Purushottam Kshetra, all these different aspects.
And from this Sankarshan comes Mahanarayan.
No, I think Mahanarayan's first. Like that, because from him comes the Chakravyuha. So that's why there's these overlapping elements, like Mathura. Then you're talking about there dealing Mahanarayan. But it's Krishna. At the same time, he has four arms. But we see that because Mathura has that element of higher because of that sweetness that is there. But at the same time, the residence of Mathura went to Dwarka, and therefore the Dwarka bodies. But when you talk about the elements in the conjugal rasa, Mathura, the Mahishis are the lowest, then Dwarka, the queens, and then the golds. So you have all these kind of like subtle elements that are there. So that's where you understand it from one angle, and then the other, and then you can start to be put together.
So in studying this, we have to see the whole picture and then the details inside that bigger picture.
Yeah, basically, means as Krishna is the whole thing, so then that makes it easy. But the center of that is Krishna in Braj, which is the central feature. That is the highest form. So that's Radha and Krishna. Then from that, then you get the all the lotuses and everything. So in other words, what we're describing is a yantra here. Have you ever seen when the boys make that yantra in the Yajnakunda? So they're making this yantra. It's called the Golok yantra. Like that. So that's what we use whenever we're establishing things and that, unless there's something special, then we might use one of the other yantras. But it's the same thing, it's just a matter. The difference is the detail in this outside. See, this one only gives Golok. When you do that, I think it's Sarvatabhadra, then it includes all the Shaktis outside, means all of the material world, Devi and everything like that. So it's just a more elaborate, but it's the same yantra. So yantras, you'll see, always have this shape. It's just a matter of who you put in the middle, what the mantra is, how it expands. So this is then the Golok Yantra. So it's in that shape, but at the same time, it's got these other aspects. You know, they both happen at once. And then you have these places, and then you have all these unlimited elements of all these different realms going on at once. Mother Yashoda is always with Devi Krishna. You know, but at the same time, he's also bigger. You know, so when he's a baby, then that's favoring Mother Yashoda. When he's a youth, then that's favoring the gopis. You know, but it's not that Mother Yashoda is not in both. So it's all good, but it's just that you're in one at once. So in lower Gokula, then that's where all the ages happen at once, right, from one after the other. But in Goloka, they all happen simultaneously. But it's the same place. That's that you're dealing with the Chinta Shakti. Okay. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains how these tridents represent, quote, the mundane threefold attributes and the threefold divisions of time. There are 10 tridents and 10 directions. There are 10 tridents and 10 directions to prevent and disappoint those who are aspirants for having an entrance into Goloka through meditations without the grace of Krishna. So that means you can sit down and do your meditation and do whatever you like, but if it's not by the grace of Krishna, you won't get into Goloka. One could think, well, why do you need that? And there's plenty of people that sit down and meditate on how they're going to enter the pastimes and do this and that. And I mean, it's just the way it works. I mean, you're listening to, you're getting the benefit for 5 days of the whole group of such personalities. Right? So that's the whole thing, is people do that, so it keeps them out. Self-conceited people who try to reach this region through the paths of yoga, meditation, and jnana, and empiric knowledge, are baffled in their attempts, being pierced by the 10 tridents. Self-annihilation has its excellence in Brahma Dham, which represents the outside covering of Goloka in the shape of tridents.
How do they even get to the point of those tridents?
What is it, when you're dealing with transcendental, is there any time or space? If you're thinking of Krishna, is there any time or space with Krishna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so therefore,
those guys, they don't think about Krishna.
No, but it says here those who are trying to enter. So they must be thinking about Krishna.
Like demons, etc.?
It just meant self-conceited, as of yoga and empiric knowledge. So those who think through knowledge, they read this and they'll get into Goloka.
My point is that it's pretty high to get there.
But there are people like this, like we mentioned. So Rabindrasroop Prabhu was mentioning that there are professors in Boston who sit down at the pub drinking their beer and discussing, you know, technical points of the Sanskrit of Jiva Goswami Sundarvas. There are people, I mean, we don't even know what they are, and they're sitting there talking about it. So there's all kinds of people doing all kinds of stuff. We're just protected from all them, you know. So we don't have to worry about it here, and we don't have to worry about it there. Because the modes of nature will catch them here, and if they try to get there, the tridents will get them. Right, so the Brahma Jyoti, that's the realm where then they just kind of like merge into and disappear. So they never quite make it. So then they always start off ending up like that. That's why I said, you know. Yeah. Yes.
So the description you've had so far of this abode, that includes all the Vaikuntha planets also?
Well, technically they're outside of that, I know. But at the same time, as Dwarka is Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
It's just that it has all the aspects of rasa. Well, then as you go out, then it becomes just only manifesting the dasya and the shampa. Okay. But otherwise, then it's the same principle.
This element of the tridents is also similar.
Yeah, because they mentioned Brahman.
Yes.
Self-annihilation, are baffled through their attempts, being pierced by the 10 tridents. Right, self-annihilation has excellence in Brahma Dham, which represents the outside covering of Goloka in the shape of tridents. So, in other words, they get up to that level, they're trying to get into the transcendental, but they can only get as far as Brahman without serving Krishna in devotion. So, it's not that they're thinking, it's an option, I could do beyond that, but I'm choosing this. No, that's their choice, they can't get beyond that choice. They won't actually think of anything beyond. So if there's any idea of approaching the Lord, but it's not with devotion, then these tridents will get them, and they'll end up as Brahmavadis. So I mean, if you look at world religions, they're talking about the Lord and all that, but when they get up there close, what do we have? They're all Brahmarajas. Yes, because that's the point. They're trying to approach the Lord without his grace on that aspect. So then they end up in this. Right?
Either that or their conception is just to go to heaven, or there is still the center.
Yes. So then it'll always end up as impersonal. Because even if they were going to heaven and they wanted to be about them enjoying themselves, fine, but why can't God be a person with form? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if Abraham, was it not Abraham, Isaac, go back, I'm going the wrong direction. Abraham, Adam, right? Adam. Okay. Adam and Eve are walking with God in the garden, right? So that means walking means there should be feet, right? Feet, you know, are connected, you know, what do you call it? You know, the football is connected. Yeah, like this. So it moves up. So you're going to get this whole kind of body. Because if you tried to walk with just feet without arms to create the balance, it would be a little weird. Without a head, you wouldn't know where you bump into things and all that. God would think it's a little annoying, right? You know, all these guys bump into everything. You know, you can't have a good conversation. Plus, if they're walking with them and talking with them, you need some mouth. You know, so, you know, it works good in the head, you know, not so good on your ankle or something like that.
Back in the day, you could get these wind-up toys that were just feet. Maybe it's like that.
Yeah, but then talking, walking and talking. Yeah. Right, so.
I probably have four.
Yeah, okay. So, does that make sense? So, why isn't there the concept of going back, being with God? No, but you can't have a form. So what does that mean? That means these tridents catch them.
How did they get there? That's what I don't understand. If they want to go to heaven, it's so hard to get out of the material world. And those guys, they're not interested in the form of God, and they get there.
Because God's everywhere. It's all Brahman. So the Brahman is here.
But tridents are not everywhere.
Tridents are the Brahman.
Always.
That's what it says here. Self-annihilation has its excellence in Brahma-dham, which represents the outside covering of Goloka in the shape of tridents.
Tridents signify the modes of material nature, the threefold divisions of time.
Hmm. Yeah, so then that's all. So that means anything outside of there. So here it's created from Brahman, so that means it's going to be created from the modes of nature and the three and the aspects of time. So as we saw before, Brahma's describing the Garga Muni, then that's what you're dealing with in the material world. You're dealing with the jivas and the external energy. So that external energy then is the time, the modes, you know, so the moods that come up, everything like that. See, we tend to make this distinction of time and space. So Krishna is very far because we're not thinking of him, but he's very close because he's sitting in the heart, and everything is him anyway. Is that?
Yes. So on the trident, generally we hear that Lord Shiva protects the dog. Can it be that those tridents some...
And where does Lord Shiva live?
He's in the... In between.
And what's in between?
Where does he live?
No, what's in between? Goloka and the material world, what's in between?
Brahman.
Yeah, and that's where the tridents are, and that's where he lives.
Right.
So it's not a problem.
Well, I'm saying
whether he's managing the tridents or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But they might be related, that's what I'm saying.
They might be, yes, they might
he's
be.
He's got 10 arms, and they say that there's 10 tridents.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Yeah, so it's saying these things. It means you go back, it's just a matter of if that aspect of the discussion is important. To, you know, irrelevant for understanding. Though it's another thing, is that then you'd have to understand what Shiva Tattva is and the relationship between Shiva Tattva and Krishna. Because we refer to Advaita Acharya as Mahavishnu and as Sadashiva. But how many have put together the Sadashiva and Mahavishnu are the same person? It's just different moods. like that. Same person, different moods. Because the Purusha avatar means the mood of I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So you have to deal with all those aspects. You know what I'm saying? But if you break this up into a technical discussion with devotees, then they'll be trying to separate them. But at the same time, they're separate in that they're best of friends, but at the same time, they're the same person. So you have all these things happening at once. So all going through this is trying to broaden so we can accommodate all these things at once. And then it's not a problem. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then it's a problem. He says, you're going to take the cows out, you know, and then you're thinking it's so many kilometers away and it's going to be a long walk and the sun's out. You know, then it's not going to work. It's that Krishna's there, the cows are there, we know where we want to go, and then Hari Bal. So you're able to accommodate all these various things at once. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Even for one who has progressed in bhakti and made it past the 10 tridents, there is plenty of opportunity to be diverted from the topmost destination. Yeah, just in case you have to worry. Yeah. That was easy. Where's the fun? we can make a Go Loka video game. Yeah. Going through there, you know, you got seven.
Final boss.
You know, like that.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go through there. Those who proceed towards the direction of Goloka through the channel of devotion, alloyed with majestic ideas, are fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, which is the outer covering plane of Sri Goloka. So that answers the placement of Vaikuntha. So in other words, it's all expanding. It means in our picture, then you put it there, you know, and then you put the Vaikuntha and all that. But actually, it's there, and all this is expanding, and then there's a little portion where there's the material matter.
The uniquadrental.
Yes, the uniquadrental. Okay, they become fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, which is the outer covering plane of Sri Goloka, at the sight of the eight perfections, namely Anima, etc., and majesties like Mahapadma, etc. Those who are less forward in their intelligence relapse to the sevenfold world, falling under the control of the 10 protectors of the 10 directions, in the guise of mantras. Goloka has become unknowable and inaccessible. Okay. So then one becomes distracted by that, and so then one just basically remains here.
What are those majesties?
Majesties. Says like Mahapadma, etc.
Just in case we get distracted.
Oh, I see. You want to know what the Mahapadmas are. I'm not... you see them now and again listed. Remember when it mentions all the... I think all the different Shaktis around Krishna. So Mahapadmas.
Yeah, the verse is on the eight treasures.
Oh, the eight treasures. Okay.
Eight treasures of eight cities.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all different?
The cities are the Asta cities, you know. And these ones are different, the different kinds of, I think that's Kirti and all these, that. They're mentioned, we've come across them before. Yeah. They were mentioned, I think, in Madhubhagavatam. Like that. It's just that we're not used to them, so we don't pay that much attention. We've heard the yoga cities so much that we don't have a general idea. But this is... Because these things are more, when you're discussing Vaikuntha and all that, then those are more major. Because they're all the different Shaktis of Vishnu. But I think he's surrounded by those, like we're worrying about the Astasaki, you know, so they get into it.
This is before you reach Goloka, right?
It's all part of that Golok thing, but then the thing is that one... if one is going beyond the Brahman aspect, but then you get distracted by these things. And becoming distracted by those, then those cities and everything are going to be enjoyed here. Because the point is, you're getting distracted means you're not looking at the Lord in devotion. Right? So then one can get distracted.
Right? I also heard that while crossing Vaikunthas, if you contemplate the different Purusha avatars, you may be attracted to them.
Yeah. That means the whole point is going from here, you get a tour. And so then if anything in the tour is interesting, then you get the opportunity to go there. So that's why then it's said, just be focused on Krishna only. And then you go there. You won't get distracted by anything else. Because otherwise there's plenty. It's just like when you're going out, we see when we get to Gopu Kumar, then we get into these levels. Then he's going out, then Mohini Murti is there, you know, and doing worship and everything like that. And then he's invited if he wants to take part. Maya Devi herself is worshipping Mohini Murti because she's dealing with illusion. So Mohini is the source of illusion. So she's worshipping and said, you know, because you're worshipping Vishnu, you know, you want to come and join in the worship and everything like that. And he said, right. Keeps going. People are nice in the cosmos. You know. You just have to be focused. It's not that they're all going to be nasty, so therefore you're going to keep going. They're all nice.
Sometimes too nice for our own good.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, I had lunch.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Who then is qualified to attain Goloka? In answering this question, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur takes the reader on a whirlwind tour of the conscious universe. There is in this a most hidden principle which only the great souls who are possessed of the highest transcendental love are enabled to realize by the direct grace of Krishna. Right, so here's the point, is by Krishna's grace. You follow the directions given by the acharyas, then Krishna being pleased, getting his grace, then it can be appreciated. The truth is as follows. In this mundane world, there are 14 spheres disposed in the graded order of high and low. Persons living with wives and children, hankering for the pleasure giving effect of their fruitive actions, move up and down within the limits of the three worlds of Bhur, Bhuva, and Swa. Brahmacharyans of great austerities, ascetics, and persons addicted to hypothetical truth, persons of a neutral disposition adopting non-fruitive works by an aptitude which seeks to be free from all mundane desires, move up and down within the limits of the worlds of Mahajana, Tapa, and Satya. Because that's beyond Burbu Viswa, like that, when you're talking about fruitive. Technically, when you're talking about dividing the 14 worlds into the three, then Mahajana, Tapa, and Satya will be part of Swa, right? But here, then, they're making a division that there's Swa means which is connected with fruitive activity, so Indra and the 22 heavenly planets, right? And then you have the Swa, which is also known as Satyaloka. So Satyaloka can mean just Satya, or it can mean all these four. Right? Because the residents within these move up. When there's destruction, they move up to Brahmaloka. And then after the recreation, they move back down.
These four aren't annihilated every night of Brahma.
Oh, okay.
Then they stay Maha gets pretty hot, so they move from there upwards.
Turn on the fan. Turn on the AC. It's on. Okay, we're going to Satya. Okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, you don't get destroyed in the annihilation. Good?
Yeah.
But you have to keep changing house because it gets too hot.
It seems like the inhabitants enter into the Lord, but the abode stay there.
Oh.
So they don't get to stay. But
I also heard that they also go up.
Yeah.
Which one?
The house?
No. The house. Is 50 people in the house. The house stays. That's it. Sorry. It's going to get too hot. That's why they live in grass houses. They're not too worried. Above these worlds lies the abode of four-headed Brahma, above which lies the unlimited realm of Vaikuntha of Vishnu, Kirudakshai, lying in an ocean of milk. Paramahamsa sannyasis and the demons killed by Sri Hari, by crossing the Viraja, i.e. by passing beyond the 14 worlds, enter into the luminous realm of Brahman and attain to Nirvana in the form of temporary abeyance of the temporal ego. Right? So it's just temporary. It doesn't last for long, because at some point you have to do something, you're bored, and then if you're going to do something, then what are you? Are you the servant, or are you the controller and enjoyer? Yes.
It means they merge into the Krishna illusion? That's the form they merge in?
Well, the Brahman, you know, because there'll always be Brahman around the Lord. Because you have both these elements of just like you have... The Brahman means you have the Viraj, and then you have what's beyond, just like you have Golok and what's beyond. So in between, that's the Brahman. But wherever the Lord is situated, you have the same thing. You know, it's just Golok is quite grand manifestation. Right? You know, Vaikuntha, each Vaikuntha will have the same kind of element. Same time as all these are contained within the whole element of Goloka. You know? Vaikuntha. So Kiridakshai's place is also just going to be an expansion of Vaikuntha. Just like Goloka has its manifestations here, so then the eras of Vaikuntha will also have there. You understand? So therefore, you have to be able to appreciate both the aspect of the locative, but at the same time as there's beyond time and space. Because you're dealing with time and space because they're still dealing with mundane mentality. So they're going to stay within the mundane. So technically then the Brahma Jyoti is still within, on one sense, the sphere of those with mundane consciousness. Because those without mundane consciousness, they enter into below.
So they cross the Viraja.
Yes, so that's the whole point, is the Viraja then includes that whole, must include that whole element of Brahman. You know. So that part which is connected this side, in other words, which touches the universe we call Viraja, because it's right there, but at the same time is then the whole causal ocean is the same, and then the other side is on that side. Is that what I'm saying?
So it's an ocean of the two banks, two sides.
Yes, but that side is called Jamuna, this side is called Viraja. You know. So you're dealing with these, there is the conceptual, which is a reality, and at the same time you have the, you know, just where they're placed, so that they can be discussed. But otherwise, it doesn't really matter. You know. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you're sitting in your favorite cafe with your good friends and you're having a good time. Do you really care where you are? No, it doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing, is that it has that significance of just for discussion, you can identify where everything is, so you can appreciate. In other words, those with mundane consciousness never enter Goloka. So that means they never get past the tridents. You can only get past it, there's some element of devotion. But then if you get distracted by the facilities, again you're on this side. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you come up to the door, you're outside. You open the door, you go in, you close the door, and then when you turn around, you're outside. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Is that you don't actually get out. So there's Goloka, and then there's the rest of the kingdom of God. So that rest of it, that's where those without devotion can stay. Does that make sense? So that's how in Gokula you're in the spiritual world, but if you don't have the devotion, you're actually living outside. So then one is they're non-different. So if you have that devotion, you're living in the spiritual world. If you don't have the devotion, then you're living within the material world. So both of them, you know, it may be situated here, but that aspect of what, how, if it's all one thing, where are you situated? So you're situated outside the, you know, the tridents. And so outside the tridents is here. But at the same time as if you're in devotion, then you're inside. So that's the thing, is that it becomes difficult because we want to be able to place exactly it's here and exactly there and draw it and all that. So that's why it gets difficult. You can do that, but it's hard enough to do with the material world. Because there you're dealing with all these amazing kind of things that are happening. But that's just a portion of it. So if this is so bewildering, what about there? Which is even more, you know. There you're talking about. So he says amazing shaktis. The acharyas don't talk about amazing shaktis in the material world. They just talk about a portion of the shaktis. Because they won't cause it amazing because it's not. Right?
This is the element of the chincha.
Yes. So does that make sense? So consciousness is what places you. Because what have we described here so far? We look at it as a place. Here's the trident place, and here's this place, and that. It's a consciousness. The tridents that catch you first with the modes of nature, and what was the other thing?
The threefold.
And then time. So if you're under that, you don't get past those. If you get past those, but then you get distracted by the facilities of the spiritual world, then you know you're outside in a better situation. You know what I'm saying? So that means that the Brahmins, they were outside, even though they're sitting there in the same place. That's the amazing thing. You know, they're taking Krishna's there in a form that you can see is this big. But when Mother Yashoda tries to tie a rope, and we're not talking about she got out a little piece of, you know, a piece of rope. These are full ropes. Because the idea is tie the rope around his waist, and then with what's extra, you're going to tie it around the mortar. So that means you have to have enough for the waist, some space in between, and enough for the mortar. She can't even get it to, the rope won't even go around his waist. Right? So therefore, that's the thing you're dealing with, this achinta aspects. Since it's Krishna, it's beyond the capacity to work with intellectually. But at the same time, is by his mercy, he allows it to be appreciated. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yes. But the devotee, actuated by knowledge, jnana bhakti. The devotee actuated by the pure devotional aptitude, shuddha bhakta. The devotee imbued with loving devotion, prema bhakta. The devotee actuated by pure love, prema para bhakta. And the devotee impelled by overwhelming love, prematura bhakta. Who serve the majesty of Godhead have their locations in Vaikuntha, etc., the transcendental realm of Sri Narayan. Footnote 9. But so then we're just thinking about, okay, Jnana Bhakti and all that, and then you have the Shuddha Bhakti, and then you have another few beyond that. That's why you don't bring it up so much. You'll say, how am I going to like that? Okay. In this connection, Mathura and Dwarka are considered to be included within the abode of Narayana. Right? Because that's what Rupa Goswami is mentioning. You have in the planet of Goloka, you have what's called Goloka, meaning Mathura and Dwarka, which is majesty, and Gokula, like that. So they're making two divisions there, so we don't want to put two boxes. But one is the heart of it, and one is extending from that. Okay. Yes. The devotees who are imbued with all love and who walk in the footsteps of the spiritual maze of Braja alone attain to the realm of Goloka. Brahma Samhita Purport 5.5.5. So here is that aspect of Goloka, meaning here we're meaning about Vrindavan. So that place, in other words, you do that, then you get from Gokula here to Gokula there. But otherwise, if you don't do that, you won't get there. You'll stay here. Or you'll end up in one of these other places if you're distracted by other facilities and everything like that. So in other words, this love is there. Right? The Jnana Bhakta and the Shuddha Bhakta, right? So then they make it to Vaikuntha. Like that. Because what Ramanuja and Madhwa are preaching is pure devotion. But it's within that. So then you get up to the Prema Para, then you get higher than that. And then the Prematura Bhakta. So then that takes you on through. Right? So then you get Vrindavan, you get Dwarka, you get Vaikuntha. Right, so the Jnana Bhakta and the Shuddha Bhakta can be there, because Jnana Bhakta will be one who is in Shanta, in this case, right? Because they appreciate, but they don't. So we'll see when we get to Gopu Kumaras that there's all kinds of devotees like this coming to visit the Lord. You know, when the gates open in the morning for darshan, everybody's coming from all over. So the If entrance into Goloka, yes.
Just want to confirm. So the Mathura and Dwarka, it's because in Mathura it said that it's an expansion of Vasudeva expansion who goes to Mathura. Mm-hmm. And Dwarka is Dwarkadish, who's also expanded from Balaram. So it's only in Goloka that's the Swayam Krishna. That's basically the only means of attaining, is to follow the footsteps of
You have to follow in their footsteps, whether they're interested in that rasa or not, but their footsteps of that pure, unalloyed love, you know, that total surrender, that's what you have to follow. Right? Because otherwise you read this and then go, oh no, you know, Gopi Baba and stuff. No, it's just point. Gopi Baba's another thing. You know, we're talking about here is that their surrender to the Lord, that's what one has to have. Because they epitomize that. So it's the generic in Brudge to have that, but theirs is like the, you know, seeing that, then you can appreciate. Like we see is that Bhishma Dev has no problem appreciating it. You know, on the bed of arrows, on the battlefield, surrounded by Kshatriyas and discussing, you know, about Dharma. But he's thinking about how fortunate are the gopis because of that. So that's the mood.
But he's a Vaikuntha man, so his Starbaba is there, right?
Yeah. No, Starbaba is, but he can appreciate. So like we said, there's those who can appreciate these higher elements of rasa and Krishna and those who don't. So he can appreciate Krishna, the position of that, and that love, but he knows, I have this love, and so I'm here. So you have those who will look at Vaikuntha as Mahanarayan as superior, and then Krishna is just an expansion of Mahanarayan. You look at those who Krishna is the origin, and Mahanarayan is his expansion. Right? But within that, then you'll have those who, their devotion is to Krishna in Braj or to those who is in Vaikuntha. So it's not a problem. So the expansion is there is because, why we say expansion is because only that much of Krishna's personality is manifest, but it's the same Krishna. Right? So when Krishna goes to Mathura, there's more manifest. When he goes to Dwarka, there's less than that manifest. You're talking about more or less within within infinity. Mm-hmm. But it's just the element of sweetness is not manifest. There's some kind of little bit of sweetness in Mathura, but it's based on reverence. Right? And then in Dwarka, then it's more that reverence. So there is the element of that kind of friendship and all that. So the prominent rasa in Dwarka, we see that comes out and discussed the most is the friendship, or the Kshatriyas. Then there's the element of the queens, but that's more of a private kind of thing. Well, in Dwarka, then he comes and everybody's just so impressed by his beauty and everything like that. Does that make sense? So there is the element of the expansion, so we see that, but at the same time it's the same person. right? Because there's that same cognition. Yes.
So we see in Bhagavatam the best storytellers. This is Narad Muni basically and Shukadeva Goswami. They are both in Shantarasa.
Yes.
They can appreciate Krishna in all those places.
Yes. So there are those kind of devotees. Because the element is it's not that Shanta, someone in Shanta, it's not that he can't appreciate the wonderfulness of the other rasas. It's just that that's their rasa. You know, so that's the meaning of one is satisfied in one's rasa. It's not that one is, you know, getting jealous, you know. So it's like, you know, in the morning get up, Mother Yashoda's there, she's doing everything, so then one thinks, well, I want to be part of that scene, you know, so you take on that rasa, and then, you know, everything's cool until Krishna and the coward boys go out in the field, hey, well, I want to be in that rasa, so then you go out there. And then Krishna disappears, goes off to Radhika, hey, I want to, you know, like this. So it's not, you're satisfied with whatever.
That's how we work.
We'll work like that. But at the same time, is that there's something you like, you're eating that and your friend's eating something different, you know, you can be very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like that.
They're not an egalitarian gender equity society.
No, they don't have those hang-ups. You know, that's what they don't understand. So if you make the genders equal, then it's a step down for the women. So it means they just don't catch that. You know, who wants to step down? you want to step down from, you know, Louis Vuitton to DKNY? No. So then, you know, that's what they're professing.
Walmart.
Walmart. Or Dollar General. Getting down to the bottom. Okay. If entrance into Golok, in other words, these things will come up more as we go through. But we have to be able to catch the concepts. Right? If entrance into Goloka is restricted to devotees of Govinda, what fate befalls the servants of Gauranga? The Acharya's answer as follows. Srila Thakur Vrindavana, the manifest Vyas of Chaitanya Lila, has described the village of Navadvipa as bearing the name as Swetadvipa. Swetadvipa Nama, Navadvipa Gram. Hence the region of Navadvipa, Vraja and the realm of Goloka are one and the same indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of the infinite variety of sentiments, right? So the Visesha, right? This uniqueness of that, corresponding to the diverse nature of their devotional love.
Yes.
Right? So, in other words, places are established based on the kind of love is there. As we see, is that that it has to be in this place and not in that place. Right, that's not what's important. So time and space are not what's important. It's not that there's no time and space and we work it out from some kind of, you know, heady 60s kind of, you know, sci-fi thing that, you know, all this kind of jazz. It's a matter of, though, the people move from one to the other, but at the same time, is how do you have Maharas with millions of gopis? Right? So, you know, because Vrindavan's a certain, you know, kind of has a certain flavor. You know, so there's a sense of a village. You have millions of people, that's not a village anymore. So that means there's many manifestations. But there are times when they come together. And Jamuna, how wide is the bank of the Jamuna? But now if millions of gopis are dancing, it somehow or another is bigger. It accommodates. Mm-hmm. It's not that it necessarily has to get bigger in size, it works. So that it means you're having a lot of these elements happening.
You see it sometimes in the Dharma also, you have a program and it's like millions are coming and they shouldn't fit, but they do.
They do, yeah. Like Mangal Arati.
Or if you see some of the Parikram places where thousands of devotees and you come there out of season, and this place can't hold that many devotees.
That's true. Yeah. Somehow or another,
it's just a very small place, but when the Parikram comes, it's like...
True. Yeah, that's a good point. Hmm. The difference lies only in the manifestations of the infinite variety of sentiments corresponding to the diverse nature of the devotional love. The pure devotees following the devotees of Raja and those following the pure devotees of Navadvip are located in the realm of Krishna and Gaura respectively. The identical devotees of Raja and Navadvip simultaneously attain to the pleasures of service in the realm of Krishna and Gaura. So if one is interested in one or the other, one attains that place. If you're interested in both, you attain both. So it's not a problem. The gist of the whole matter is this. Goloka as Svetadvip is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its entirety in the past lives of Krishna and Braja. Footnote 10. Right? So Krishna's to appreciate the taste of Radharani's love for him, therefore there's Svetadvip. Right? But Svetadvip is only trying to taste the taste of Braj. Right, so they end up as the same place. Just as they're the same indivisible entity, right? So it's not saying it's a moiety that there's two parts of the thing. They're saying it's indivisible. Difference is only in the manifestations of infinite variety of sentiments. So because that sentiment is there, then everything connected with it is there. So therefore, it appears as different. Okay. Svetadvip has been mentioned previously as the outer perimeter of Goloka Dhamma. In other words, Svetadvip is sometimes taken to mean the outer manifestations of Goloka that is predominated by the mood of opulence. In this case, however, Svetadvip refers to an area within the inner region called Gokula. Right, so just like Goloka can mean the whole planet, or it can mean the part of the planet here that is the parts of opulence. Mm-hmm. Right? And then Gokul, so when you're talking about Gokul and Goloka, then that's the division. Right? But here also, then that Gokul, if you're talking about Goloka, then that outer portion is called Svetadvip. But then Svetadvip is also the aspect of Navadvip. Mm-hmm. So all these have their double meaning, double applications. So it's just like Gokul can mean here or there. So that's the thing we have to get used to, the context, then we know which they're talking about. Like that. Otherwise, then we'll be confused.
Which we are.
Yes. Therefore, Goloka Dhamma is an incomprehensible and impenetrable realm, which is accessible only through pure prema bhakti. The preacher of Yuga Dharma, who is the sum total of all avatars, remains there eternally in order to bestow mercy upon the devotees traversing this path. The following verse concludes the description of Goloka, so Gokula so far. So that would be the next verse.
You missed one sentence there at the end of the quote. After the footnote,
right. He accepts the emotion and effulgence of his predominated moiety, Sri Radhika, and makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna Rasa there. Right, so he accepts that emotion, so that's the difference in manifestation. Otherwise, it's the same Radha and same Krishna. Right, same kind of flavors and all that. It's just that it's the mood is different. Right? Does that make sense? So Krishna is taking the mood of Radharani. So Radharani is taking the mood of assistant to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So Gadadhar is Radharani, but the mood is like that more of Satyabhama. You know? But he's not Satyabhama. Right? There's another devotee who's Satyabhama. So it's just, it's formal. So then this whole idea of bringing together Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar as Radha and Krishna, getting into that whole thing, then that's totally bogus. So even when we have like Bhaktivinoda Kaur Gadadhar deities, it's not about Radharani's in the mood of Radharani interacting with Krishna, who is Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Krishna, because otherwise if he takes the mood of Krishna, why would he be Gauranga? Gauranga is because he's Krishna who's thinking of Radharani, who's thinking of Krishna. Right? So you wouldn't have it. So that's a totally bogus. It means like, it means sahajiyas are totally bogus. This is really totally bogus. Right?
You know, even the Sahajiyas will say it's totally false. Yeah, yeah.
So generally, we don't advise Gaura Vedanta release.
No, it's not that we don't advise. It's just we've been given Gaura Nitai, so then you know that's more beneficial because you have to become freed from that the material identity and the material ego, and that's by the grace of Nityananda. Then you can appreciate Radha Krishna because Lord Chaitanya is already Radha Krishna.
Yeah. But in, like, in
because here is means someone who appreciates like that. This is Radharani, but the pastime is about Krishna taking that mood. So she's only there to assist Krishna in the mood like that. So it is Radha and Krishna, but not as these Gauranga Nagaris put them together.
But within ISKCON, we also have here and there Gaura Vedanta.
It can, but it's not so much. It's not that it's not our line, but it's not the predominance because of the preaching getting accepted. If you're already absorbed in Radha and Krishna, then Gaura Vedanta is not a problem. But at the same time, you already have Radha and Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. And then you have Balaram. Because if you have Radha Krishna, you can't put Balaram there. Yeah. So this is a form how Radha and Krishna and Balaram can be there. Yeah. So this is the three gurus.
So it makes no sense to do it.
Yeah, so there's no need. Yeah. It's not like it's necessarily higher. It means your realization would need to be higher to appreciate it on a level that it's of value.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, another aspect is that Lord Chaitanya instructed Kadara Pandit to take Kshetra Sannyas. And then he instructed Lord Nityananda to preach as well.
Yeah, that's because the point is, this is Radharani, so she's going to be absorbed in her service to the Lord. Because the associates, they just see Krishna. But he's golden and he's taking the mood of Radharani. Mm-hmm. He's just does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's why they're shocked when they see Lord Chaitanya shaved. Because, you know, here's Krishna, you know, he's shaved. So they see like that, you know, but we're not them. We're assistants. So we're assisting in this. Right? So you become assistants by becoming assistants of that mood of Radharani. And so that's directed by Radharani's associates through Damodara and Ramananda Rai. And then Rupa Goswami. So we follow that mood. Getting into these other things, it's not important for us. We're not interested.
Could you say the Nityananda Sanangamajari?
What's the need?
Keep the consistent with...
Why is that consistent? No, but why would it need to be consistent? Why would that... So that means Nityananda is inconsistent? It means Lord Chaitanya sees Nityananda as who? Who does he refer to him as? But no, but what, yes, but what is the relation?
Brother.
You know what I'm saying? So, like that. It's not that he might not go into that mood, but that's not the prominence. You see, he's there, Nityananda's with the Gopals, and they're sitting there and doing kirtan for 72 hours. Right? You don't see Lord Chaitanya doing that, but Nityananda, he does that stuff. So he spends, if he's not with Lord Chaitanya, then he's in that mood of the cowherd boys, and he's assisting, you know, so that, you know, because he can, because it's Krishna. But he's having that mood of Radha Krishna. So then he has that love for Krishna because he's ashray. But it's not necessarily that he has to be that element of Ananga, and that makes it consistent. Because Lord Chaitanya also takes all these other moods. You know what I'm saying? So it's not important to do all those things. If it comes up in the pastime, fine, we can digest it. But if it's not, we don't get into these things to make it worthwhile and make it special. It's already special.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki jai Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini ki jai